This is Bias Bender, and I'm Kayla Stokes. Welcome to the next episode of this podcast, where we are exploring the lives of Black women from the past and the present in order to imagine the future. This week's episode is about Osceola McCarty and paying it forward. Okay, hello everyone. How are you doing today? I am definitely feeling lighter than I was last week. And honestly, that might be completely tied to the fact that it's warmer outside and I got a haircut, but whatever works, right? So this week we're talking about a pretty incredible woman, and I had no idea about her story before this week. This episode is pretty much all because of one of those Google rabbit holes where I look up one thing and then I'm suddenly hours in the future reading about philanthropy. And yeah, that is how I found out about this week's subject. I think the beginning of that rabbit hole had something to do with me looking up something money related. I have been in the process of realizing that I am an adult, and there are so many things on my list of things I need to figure out because I'm an adult now. The list is kind of intimidating, I'm not gonna lie, but here we are. One of those things on that list is figuring out what the heck I'm supposed to do with money. You might have had the same experience as me in that you probably weren't taught a ton about finances in school. I guess unless you went to college for that, but I went and got myself a BFA, and the different types of savings accounts and retirement funds and investment choices were not really discussed in my directing and acting and designing courses. Luckily for me, I have a mother who has always instilled in me the importance of being smart with my money, and I happen to have the internet at my disposal. Of course, that means there are a lot of opinions out there, but I have found it very helpful to wade through the opinions and find a lot of information about the ins and outs of money stuff, for lack of a better phrase. So while I was on one of those internet rabbit holes looking at IRAs and compounding interest, I stumbled upon the story of Osceola McCarty. I really enjoyed learning about her story, and I think you will too. If nothing else, she inspired me to keep putting my pennies away. All right, let's just jump right into it. Osceola McCarty was born on March 7th, 1908, in a pretty tiny town called Shubuda, Mississippi. She was raised by her grandmother and her aunt in nearby Hattiesburg. Both of the women who raised her made their living by cleaning houses, taking in laundry, and cooking. Early on, it was clear that Osceola would have to help around the house in order to make ends meet. When she got home from elementary school, she would help her aunt and grandmother by ironing the clothes they had washed for others. Osceola had to step up even more when her aunt was hospitalized. Unfortunately, that aunt came home unable to walk, so when Osceola was in the sixth grade, she had to drop out of school in order to take over her aunt's work. And that work was washing clothing. At such a young age, Osceola stumbled into her lifelong career. She would go on to work hard and perfect the art of laundering clothing. To me, this life shift at such a young age sounds tough. I don't know how difficult it was for Osceola at the time, but when she was asked to reflect back on her life working as a laundress, she didn't really have any sob stories to share. She talks about her time working with pride. Here, I'll share with you some quotes of hers that stuck with me. "I knew there were people who didn't have to work as hard as I did, but it didn't make me feel sad. I loved to work. And when you love to do anything, those things don't bother you. Sometimes I worked straight through 2 or 3 days. I had goals I was working toward. That motivated me, and I was able to push hard. Work is a blessing. As long as I am living, I want to be working at something. Just because I'm old doesn't mean I can't work." Osceola also said, "I would go outside and start a fire under my wash pot. Then I would soak, wash, and boil a bundle of clothes. Then I would rub them, wrench them, rub them again, starch them, and hang them on the line. After I had all the clean clothes on the line, I would start on the next batch. I'd wash all day, and in the evening, I'd iron until 11 o'clock. I loved the work, the bright fire, wrenching the wet, clean cloth, white shirts shining on the line. So, yeah, it sounds like washing clothes and bringing people the joy of clean, fresh shirts and dresses was Osceola's passion. She loved to work hard and earn a living. And it turns out that Osceola was very smart with her earnings. She made sure that she didn't spend every penny she was given. She knew from a young age that it would be important to put money away when she could. And that's just what she did. Apparently, she opened a savings account at a bank before she even hit double digits. She would take a portion of what she earned washing clothes and deposit it there. And she only deposited. She didn't withdraw any of those savings. Here's what she had to say about her savings methodology. I commenced to save money. I never would take any of it out. I just put in. It's not the ones that make the big money, but the ones who know how to save who get ahead. You gotta leave it alone long enough for it to increase. When I read that quote, I thought about my mom. She has said the same thing to me since I was a little kid. I remember her telling me it doesn't matter how big your salary is, it matters how much of your salary, percentage-wise, that you're willing and able to save for the future. I'm really grateful that I grew up knowing the importance of thinking about my financial future and knowing how to save. I know that having that mindset and practice ingrained in me has helped me find confidence with my own financial situation so that I can, I don't know, hopefully buy a house someday, save for when I'm a cute little old lady who doesn't want to work anymore, and give back to the organizations that I believe in and have benefited from. To get back to Osceola's story, it sounds like her mindset financially was really similar to the one I've been brought up in. I don't know if anyone in particular taught her to think about saving in the way that she did, but she carried that practice through her entire working career. By the time she retired when she was 86, her hands were rough and she needed a break. But at the same time, her bank account was pretty darn full considering the type of money she was making throughout her career. She managed to save and invest her money so that when she was ready to stop working, she had $280,000 in her bank account. This was around 1994, so with inflation, that amount would be even more in today's money. According to the internet and inflation calculators, that would be nearly $500,000 today. So yeah, Osceola wasn't playing when it came to saving her money, and she also wasn't playing around when it came to giving it away. She decided that she wanted to donate a big chunk of that change. She put away what she needed to live on for the rest of her life, and she also designated a part of her savings to be given to a few family members upon her passing. But she decided to give the rest of her life savings away while she was still alive. She gave some to her church, and she made a rather large donation to the University of Southern Mississippi. That donation was in the amount of $150,000. But she made it clear that she didn't want her money going towards a new building or fancy new equipment. She wanted to help young, poor Black kids get through college. When people heard that a woman who worked washing laundry her whole life was able to make such a big donation, they joined in too. The Osceola McCarty Endowment grew and grew with the help of other people willing to donate with Osceola. Her generosity was infectious. The first recipient of the Osceola McCarty Scholarship was Stephanie Bullock. She's from Hattiesburg, Mississippi, just like Osceola, and the two became friends because of the program. Stephanie would even drive Osceola around to do errands with her, and Osceola really just wanted to be there for Stephanie's graduation from Southern Miss. It turns out that Osceola hung on just long enough to know that Stephanie graduated. Osceola passed away just a few months after that graduation. On September 26, 1999, Osceola passed away, but her legacy lives on today. Luckily, she did live to see a lot of praise. She was awarded an honorary degree from the University of Southern Mississippi, she was awarded an honorary doctorate from Harvard, and President Bill Clinton awarded her the Presidential Citizens Medal. And beyond that, she was a hometown hero for a lot of folks. When people asked her, "Why did you choose Southern Miss? They didn't even allow Black people to attend until, like, 1960," Osceola replied by saying, "Because it's here." The campus was just a short walk from her home, and she knew that they didn't always accept Black students, but there were Black students there now, and she wanted to help the young people in her immediate community have a brighter future. And that's the story of Osceola McCarty. She paid it forward in a big way, and her generosity has really made me think about what's important to me. Of course, as with every story I share on this podcast, there's always more to know. I found out that Osceola became an author late in her life, and she wrote a book called Simple Wisdom for Rich Living. I would suggest picking that up if you'd like to hear more about her from her own perspective. This week, I am left thinking about a few things. The importance of financial literacy comes to mind. Of course, I'm not super jazzed we lived in a world where we have to be so careful with our money in order to live a comfortable life, but that's our reality, and knowing how to play that game is a huge step towards freedom and being able to do what you want with your money and time. So I'm definitely not the one to take financial advice from, but I do think that knowing where you stand and, of course, saving a good percentage of what you're getting in can only help you. I'm also thinking about how I'm so glad that Osceola had it in her heart to make this big donation, and at the same time, I wish that we lived in a world where she didn't have to. I wish that college and education in general was more accessible to everyone, especially people who have been left out of the higher education conversation for so long. I wish that college was free, but that's also not the world we currently live in. So I guess I say all that to say that I'm glad there are people like Osceola, and I'm wondering how I can be more like her. I want to help the causes I believe in. I want to save for the future. I want to leave this world ever so slightly better because of my actions. And I hope that I inspire someone to do the same someday. That's all I have for you today, and I'll catch you later. But until then, thank you so much for listening. I use the following sources to research this week's episode: PhilanthropyRoundtable.org's article on Osceola McCarty, the University of Southern Mississippi Foundation's page about Osceola McCarty, LearningToGive.org's page on Osceola McCarty by Tiffany Powell, BlackPast.org's page on Osceola McCarty by Ross Cohen, the Mississippi Encyclopedia's page on Osceola McCarty by Karen Saucier-Lundy. Original music, as always, by Adam Westerman. And this podcast is supported in part by a 4Culture ARC Artist Fellowship. Hello, post-episode Kayla here. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Bias Bender. I'm still blown away that I have so many folks listening to me ramble on about, well, a lot of things. But I'm so glad that you're here with me along for the ride. If you are enjoying the podcast, I'd love to hear from you. You can reach out to me on the Bias Bender email, which is just biasbender@gmail.com. Or you can send me a message over Instagram or Facebook, which can be found at biasbender. As I talked about in my last episode, I have taken a step back from being on social media all the time, but I do check in every so often just to make sure I'm not missing any messages. And the very best thing you can do to support this podcast is to tell a friend or two about it. The easiest way to do that is by sending them an episode that you liked. Once you've done that and you're thinking to yourself, geez, how can I support Kayla and her work? I want to do more. Well, then all you have to do is rate, review, follow, and subscribe to this podcast wherever you are listening to it. That would be greatly appreciated. Okay, that is my extra post-episode ramble. See ya.